Anybody remember that? Just one more time, three for the Trinity. All right. Yeah, so when I was tasked with today's sermon, that's all I could think about. I've got the power, but not just I, but we've got the power. Amen. Well, and then I'm glad somebody said that, because let me set the stage for us. You know, when I'm in front of you, I need your help. And so I need to make sure that I'm not alone, that there's a church in here. And so I do need your help. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Amen. Miss Cindy, myself, Matt, and Shelby, you know, I don't know about the rest of them, but I can sweat right here in air conditioning. I don't have to go to Jamaica to sweat. And for our visitors, 90% of our staff is down in Jamaica, which is why you see so much of me this morning. And so I'm just fine right here. Amen. But nevertheless, I do give God thanks and praise for all of the musicians and the singers, Matt and Davis and everyone else that we're doing this together, and they'll be helping us to move along, because collectively we've got the power. And so Pastor Anthony did such a good job, and I tell you, he really didn't leave much for me for this Sunday. He did such a good job talking about that holy fire that we get from on high. Y'all remember from last week. And I just want to reiterate a few points. And one of the things that I wanted to share with you, he stole it from me. And I'm going to say it one more time just in case you weren't here. But I'll get to that in a minute. But when he talked about the Church of Laodicea, he reminded us that we should not trust in ourselves. And we should be constantly stoking the fire that is within. And another point he gave us was, don't be complacent. Amen. Don't be complacent. I want to share with you a quote that he shared with us that I found a couple of weeks ago as well, from A.W. Tozer. It says, if the Holy Spirit were withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on and no one would know the difference. If the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop. And everybody would know the difference. I thought that was mighty powerful. So my task this morning is to get us to think about some other capabilities or abilities of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. I grew up with the Holy Ghost. Some of you probably grew up with the Holy Spirit. I've always assumed that the Holy Spirit was kind of kinder than the Holy Ghost. Because to me, the Holy Ghost was that holy dance, you know, the shout, I'm not going to demonstrate that, and tongues, and rokoboshate, you know, all of that. And but all of that does come with it, but I didn't come to know the Holy Spirit until I got in other churches. But nevertheless, I want to show you one of my favorite memes. Going to go with my girls first. When you want to be petty, but the Holy Spirit got your back. And Lord knows that is definitely me. Just bridle my tongue. And for you more contemporary fans, here's another one that I found very recently. Brace yourself, the Holy Spirit is coming. But this Sunday, this Pentecost Sunday, this is not for Pentecostals. It's not for just the apostolics. It is for all of us that are believers in Jesus the Christ. It is for all of us that are born again. It's for the Methodists, the Baptists, the Episcopals. It is for all of us. It empowers us to do the work of the Lord. In some contexts, I feel that the Holy Ghost is the part of the Trinity that is least mentioned. Yet when we think about it, now the Holy Spirit is the most active part of the Trinity. Why? Because God the Father promised that he would send us a helper. So the Holy Spirit is constantly at work until Jesus' return. He is the one that comforts. He is the one that empowers. The Holy Ghost is so important, y'all, that it is mentioned in the very beginning. Genesis 1, verse 2. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So it's been at work since the beginning. So a couple of things, or a few things, I want us to think about. Number one is the Holy Ghost as our helper. You know, Pentecost, we're reminded of when they were gathered in the upper room and a mighty rushing wind came forth. But that wasn't the first time that the Holy Ghost fell upon multiple people. I'm reminded of Moses after he led the children of Israel out of captivity. And God was feeding them manna. And the Bible describes it like had a consistency of coriander seed and tasting like milk and honey and wafers, something of the sort. So not too bad, not too bad. But you can imagine they were getting tired of that and they started complaining. And Moses said, God, what did I do that was so bad for you to give me these people? I know many of you feel like that too sometimes. Plenty of times I've said that too. I said, and Moses said, you know, if I've done something so wrong, just kill me. I'd rather die. That's what he said. And he said, God, I don't even think you can provide all this meat for them. Well, you know, God had to stretch forth his arm for them, and so he sent forth quail. He said, well, since they want meat so bad, I'm going to send it to them. So God did that. But in the midst of their complaining, God also said to Moses, said, Moses, I want you to choose 70 elders, and I will take some of the spirit that is on you and give it to them. That lets me know that the Holy Spirit will be our helper. Anytime you get in trouble, you need the Holy Ghost to be your helper. Come on, say amen, somebody. Then I want to bring to our attention that the Holy Spirit will be your leader. Well, Kenji, what do you mean there? Remember when Jesus was baptized and heavens opened and a voice came from heaven and said, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm satisfied or well pleased. Bible gives us to know that the Spirit of God came forth like a dove and alighted unto him or set on upon him. And then in that next chapter, it tells us that the Spirit led Jesus to the wilderness. So don't you know in all of your frailty and in all of your shortcomings, you need the Holy Ghost to lead you. If Jesus could be led by the Spirit, Lord knows we need to be led by the Spirit. The Spirit can also transform. Of course, one of the greatest examples of a transformation would be Paul. And that's a mighty wonderful thing. Now, this one might be a little hard for us many times to see. I don't know about you, but I'm mighty grateful that I grew up kind of in some rough situations. And I've been able to see God, through the power of the Holy Ghost, take drug dealers, ladies of the night, gangbangers, all kinds, clean them up and make them vessels for the Lord. And it's a beautiful thing. Now, you may have been perfect, have all of your T's crossed and your I's dotted and you never had to go through a transformation. And that's wonderful. That's great. However, if you put up the fruits of the Spirit, do you measure up to the fruits of the Spirit? If you say that you have the Holy Ghost, do you bear the fruit of the Holy Ghost? I know I don't meet all of them. I'm going to tell you right now. Because just last night, I had to beg the Holy Ghost. She's not here. I can say it. Courtney was saying something to me, and I said, hold my tongue, hold my tongue, hold my tongue, Holy Ghost. And some of you are probably right there with me. But you don't have to confess that. I'll confess it for us. So I know I still need the Holy Ghost to infiltrate other areas of my life. So let us never forget that we are never too holier than thou, that we don't need the Holy Ghost to come and transform our lives as we continue to walk with the Lord. Amen, somebody. I want to show you a little chart or list that I found, and it goes along with what I'm sharing with you. 7 ways the Holy Spirit works in us. It convicts us of our sins, reveals God's word, guides us into all truth, teaches us God's ways, leads us in our daily life, empowers us to witness, and we're going to touch on that, and it transforms our lives. And so what I want to really, if I can't get anything else over to you this morning, I really want you to put this last one in your back pocket, and that's power to witness or to minister. Or I could call this holy boldness. I don't ever want to assume that the whole house is saved. I think that's a dangerous thing to assume that everyone in church is saved, because you never know. But for the majority of you that I do know, you've been walking with the Lord a long time. But in your walk, it is also our job to be witnesses for the Lord. Amen, somebody. It is not just Anthony or myself or Mrs. Cindy or anybody on staff. It is for all of us. The only difference between me and you, beloved, is this robe and this microphone. But we are all called to be witnesses for the Lord. Whether you find yourself as a shy person or not, the Holy Ghost will empower you or embolden you to be a witness for the Lord. 2 Timothy verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 7 says, for the Spirit of God has given to us not a spirit of fear, but it gives us power, love, and a sound mind. Acts 4, verse 31, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Yes, we are grateful that we are able to interpret scriptures and to learn, and the Holy Ghost comes and reveals things to us. But I want to challenge everyone under the sound of my voice in this church to be empowered and emboldened to be witnesses for God. I had the privilege, I'm going to tell you about a Holy Spirit moment. I had the privilege to do a visit about sometime last year with someone who was going through cancer. And they shared with me that they were getting ready for a scan, to go and be scanned to see if the surgery got all of the cancer. And I promise you, I heard the Holy Ghost say, Kenji, tell them when they go. And I got a witness back there, because he remembers that. When they go and get the all clear, be sure to let us know. Let me tell you, I wish every person that I visited, and God knows on Tuesday, I really wish this, that every person I visit, God would heal. Lord knows I do. And I'm not saying that he would give me the gift of healing and, to lay hands, but I just wish that once I got done praying that he would do it. But the Holy Ghost of God said, open your mouth and say, when? I don't want to pick on her, but we need a witness. Am I right, Joanne? So I want to say to you, let the Holy Ghost lead and guide you. You don't know who you're going to impact and or bless through God by way of the Holy Ghost. As a young boy, I've always been a fan of cars. Absolutely love them. I love the technology behind them and the mechanics. And what is so neat is we have this situation, and not that we knew this would happen, but, you know, everybody wants more power but more efficiency out of their car. Amen? Because I just paid $4.52 in Florida yesterday, so amen. But nevertheless, what is so neat is with several cars, they put in these chargers. You have either a turbocharger or a supercharger. A turbocharger takes the exhaust from the engine and spins the turbine and helps to give it more boost and more power. And I got a friend with the biggest truck out there in the parking lot, has diesel and a turbo. I tell you, that's a lot of power. Amen. I can't even get in that truck. Got to take a ladder to get in that truck. Y'all will see it when you go outside. And Hansel Watt, you know, he's not here so I can pick on him. You know, Hansel's shorter than I am, and he has a big old truck too. And you also have superchargers, and that one spins from a belt, from a pulley. And so the goal of these turbochargers, and you think about the word charger, is power. Because you don't want to have this big old car with no power. And when I was growing up, an old gentleman used to say, when you buy these top-of-the-trim model cars, the first thing that goes in the car is the bells and the whistles. I don't know if that's true, but, you know, but nevertheless, you want some power behind that car. But I want to bring what Pastor Anthony told us last week and in this new idea. You know, in the Church of Laodicea, they had all of the resources that they needed to accomplish God's work. And let me tell you something. It is a wonderful thing, and there is nothing wrong with resources as long as you know who your source is. Amen, somebody. Amen. Don't go to sleep on me. I'm almost done. Got to know where your source comes from. But I want to challenge us not to be, we're going to stick with that car analogy, not to be a vehicle with all of the bells and whistles, but no power. Think about it one more time. We have all of the bells and whistles, but no power. I'm not saying we don't have any power. I'm not saying that. But I'm talking about the church today. We want to be a church that is tapping and living into that Holy Ghost power. Well, when people that don't know Jesus walk through that door can feel something when they come in here and can walk out and leave differently. Because let me say this to you. You may walk in here feeling down in your spirit, and if there's no power in the room, you're going to walk out feeling the same. Thank you. That's one of those preacher effects, you let the point sit. But truly, that's my prayer for myself and for all of us, that when we walk in the room, that collectively there's enough power in here that anybody dealing with a spirit of depression can feel better than what they came in. Anybody downtrodden can feel better than what they came in. And I promise you, I am almost done. As I was riding along, I was listening to a sermon, and this preacher did something. I loved it, and I want to try this, so y'all have to bear with me. But before I do that, I just want to remind you, you don't have to be beat up to get the Holy Ghost. I grew up where people would say, you have to tarry for the Holy Ghost. Somebody might know what I'm talking about. And you're at the altar crying out, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And you might be there all night long till you just give up and just start, oh, roko barashata. And they say, oh, he got it, you got it, you got it. It doesn't take all of that. Because our scripture, after the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, you shall receive power. And I want to try this real quick. I have something for you. See what they did? The preacher I saw do that, he had a $100 bill. I'm sorry, fellas. When Pastor Anthony comes and y'all are acolyting, I'll have him. I'm just kidding. But nevertheless, I'm the music minister. I can't do all that. But you shall receive power. He didn't say you have to work at it. You got to get beat up for it. But you shall receive power. So the goal for us is to tap into that power that is already given to us and to live into it. And when we are operating within our own power, in our own sense, so to speak, it is exhausting to try to do the work of the Lord without the Holy Ghost. We weren't created to work that hard. If you have a car that is made with a turbocharger or a supercharger, when that sucker goes out, your car will be working harder than necessary. We were not created to make this harder than what it is. The Holy Ghost is our advocate and our help. And I want to challenge you today that if you know for sure you don't have as much of that Holy Ghost power as you need, that you'll step out on faith this morning and tap into it. I want to just give us a moment just to pray right where you are. Miss Cindy, if you'll play Spirit song for me, and then we'll sing it after I get done praying. But I want to pray for each and every person under the sound of my voice, that Holy Ghost power would be yours. Because in this world that we live in, it takes more than just our own abilities, our own talents. Sure, I think I can sing, but it takes the Holy Ghost of God ministering to me through me to reach you. Holy Ghost is not just the goosebumps that we get and the speaking in the tongues. But I want us to tap into that power, that firepower that is already ours through God the Father. So let us pray. Spirit of the living God, would you visit us in this room, in this place, and truly fall fresh on us? We don't want to keep just having church and having programs as status quo, But we truly want to tap into that power that has been given to us by you. We want to plug into that power. We want to be a church that is like a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. We want to be able to be empowered and emboldened to minister, to witness, to teach in everything that you have called us to do. Whether we have natural timidness in our personalities, Lord, would you empower us to open our mouths and cry loud and spare not and not be ashamed and say, for God I live and for God I die. Help us to love. We need power to live in this world, in this place. Let us never be the same from this day forward, from this Pentecost day forward. Let us be filled with your Holy Ghost and your power. In your holy and precious name we pray. Amen.